Hi, today I'm going to sing some songs. The first one is, My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. My Lord knows the way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And let me start off. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Near the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find grace beyond the river. And that's all.
Hey, good morning to you guys out there. Good morning to you guys who are here with us in person. I want to tell Miss Jackie, thank you, Miss Jackie, for what you said out there online last night. I read that, and you pray for this ministry, and I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank everybody out there who prays sincere prayers lifting this ministry up, and I thank y'all for that. I thank y'all for your encouragement and the kind words that you speak over us and over Kennedy too, okay? Thank y'all for encouraging her ministry. And those were such beautiful little sweet songs. Those were some songs I'd never heard before. But I want to say that Miss Jackie was sharing, not to get discouraged, because this ministry is standing up and speaking the truth and preaching and teaching the truth of God's word, and also revealing what's going on in this world, just how wicked and evil it is, for us to all have a sense of how close we are to Jesus' return, even more so than they felt like they were back in Paul's day, okay? We're way closer now. And so I just want to say, Miss Jackie was saying, when you're standing and teaching and preaching truth like we are, the attacks aren't going to slack off, right? The trolls are going to get thicker. The attacks are going to get heavier. Like I keep telling you guys, it's going to get worse. Okay? For all of us Christians, it's going to get worse. I know that ain't what you want to hear. I know you want to tune into those ones and say, this is your year. This is your year of, you know, all double blessing. The devil's going to get back what he stole. He got to, oh, yeah, please. Okay? God can do anything. Nothing's impossible with him. But we ain't going to stand here and feed y'all with some candy either that's just going to be, you know, cause cavities. All right. So I want to give a shout out to Jason. Jason W. I want to say that it blessed me so much yesterday to see that you changed your little profile picture on YouTube. You had Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson on there. Okay, and those of you who follow this ministry know that I used to like him when I was a worldly person. I didn't, nothing, two flying flips about wrestling, but I liked him because I liked his attitude and all this, that, and the other, right? I've changed since then because I came to the Lord, and the Lord cleaned me up and cleaned all that away, and now I see him for who and what he is, okay? He's a tool that's being used by the enemy. And so it was bothering me out there, Jason, seeing you with his profile picture. But it was such a blessing to see that you changed it yesterday. And I did see it change to the cross now with that crown of thorns on there. And you and I had a little conversation yesterday, a short one. But I want to tell you something. That ministered to me. I'm proud of you. Your discernment is working. He was over on the Nephilim series. And he said, you just talked about Perry Stone. Right now he's tracking with us because he just heard the message that went out last Sunday where I said plain as day, I have no more respect for any t- television evangelist or preacher at all anymore, and that's true. But back then, I still liked Perry Stone. And those of you who've been following this ministry from the beginning know that he's one of the main ones that I would share things from. He was one of the last ones to go for me. When God began breaking him down, and Scott didn't really want to accept it, and God was already raising me up and showing me. And it's hard. But God wants all of us to see and know the truth, okay? And I've been teaching and sharing with you guys right along when God is teaching and sharing with me, okay? So we're growing up together. And there's a lot of people that are hung up on those TV preachers and what they do and what they say and thinking it's all true and it's all as good as gold and it's all, and they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, okay? So I want to share something else with y'all, you know. Yes, this ministry, I mean, we stay under attack. Come on, you guys. We know we're in a spiritual warfare, right? But I've gone back here and there on some different videos. I think they're all powerful messages, right? But when I watch it back, see, Scott works on this all week long once this message is given. And he edits it and he does all the, you know, what you guys see, like the production part of it. And then I watch it before we release it to see if it, you know, if there's any mistakes or this or that or whatever, scripture that something wrong or references or something. And we don't ever release a video to where my lips and my words are not syncing up, to where like my lips are moving and there's no sound. We don't do that, okay? We take our time to make sure it's matching up, all right? And I've seen some videos where my lips and my words are way off. And if you don't think that's interference from the devil trying to attack and discourage people from listening to those messages, I mean, he's hard after the truth. He's trying to take the truth down, okay? But that's okay, because we're going to persevere in the name of Jesus Christ. And I also want to ask you guys to be patient when you email or make a comment to this ministry. I'm not always, it depends on what we have going on. You know, I do have a family, okay, and I do homeschool Kennedy, and I put a lot of research and time into these messages, okay, so I'm not always able to get back with you guys really fast. I know some of y'all get impatient, and some people get mad and angry, and that really tells me something right there anyway, okay. I've written ministries and never heard anything. So, you know, and I didn't get mad at them. Now I know the truth about them. They were witches anyway, and they weren't going to write back. But anyway, so let's get on with it. This is still Deception of God's Name. This is part 3, Scribes, Pharisees, and Unsaved Jews. Now, I am laying the groundwork in today's message so that you guys can start seeing who tampered with this whole Yahweh, Jehovah, sacred name, YHWH, YHVH, whatever business. How did that get into our Bibles if it was just a guess, if it was probably the name? How did all that get rolled out to where we're now speaking it and people are, you know, all of this stuff in those names? Okay, because if I were a translator or somebody, I wouldn't want to put no probably nothing up in there. Why would I want to put something that I think is probably how he said his name? You wouldn't. So I'm laying some groundwork so that we can get down to the root of where that came from. Okay, so it's going to be a lot of scripture. We got to get biblical on this, y'all. Okay, now, I want to tell you that in researching this message, I see people out there saying that Yahweh is a cow god, and he's a fire god, and a mountain god, and a murdering god, etc. It goes on and on and on. Now remember, this Yahweh stuff is all tied up with this Jehovah stuff, which was the big probably. Ooh, so sacred, we're not going to say God's name, and we're going to say Adonai instead, which just means Lord, okay? And it's just a generic title. And so then they inserted the vowels from Adonai into this YHWH and said, yeah, that's the ticket, okay? So all this stuff is being said out there about our Christian God, because remember, the TV preachers are preaching that Yahweh is God the Father, hot and heavy. You go out online, start doing some research out there, and they're saying, well, he's a cow god, a fire god, a mountain god, a murdering god, right? Okay. They're saying that same God that they're talking all bad about is the God that Christians serve. Many people are not understanding the Bible in context to know who God is. I can tell when I listen to a teaching if that person even knows God right off the bat. If they're like a troll, if they're just running interference, if they even have studied their Bible, they are saying crazy stuff that doesn't even match up. So, I mean, you got to get rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ before you just go out there willy-nilly listening to any old thing, okay? Now, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are going to be deceived. I'll flat out tell you that. So, they're not reading their Bible, or they're reading their Bible, let's put it this way, without the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture can only be understood by the Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:14. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you try to delve off into this Bible, you're not going to understand it. Okay? Some of these people are trolls and they're just running interference to push an agenda. Remember, the Illuminati is playing both sides of the thing. They want to push out truth and they want to push out deception. There's going to be a point, you guys, and you may be reaching it right now, hearing me say that all the TV preachers are witches. You may be going, what? You might be saying, who am I supposed to believe, them or her? You're going to come to a point in this walk with Jesus Christ in your search for truth where you're going to have to get down and be praying and seeking God's face to know who's telling the truth and who ain't. Okay, because right now anything goes. Anybody can get up and say anything, and they're doing it too. Okay, the agenda is to confuse people and turn them away from the Bible. This helps the New World Order agenda to unite all religions. Get the Bible out of the mix, and then we'll all get along, right? That's also what writing God our Lord in our Bibles has helped us. To unite our religion so that we can no longer distinguish what God or what Lord we're talking about. You get in a room with a Muslim, you get in the room with a Jew, you get in the room with a Christian, and they're saying God or Lord, and you don't know who, which God, which Lord. You don't know. Okay? Now, I want to say recently, Miss Ada out there, she shared that her husband is a Christian from Lebanon. And to say God, he says Allah, because Allah, in that language, apparently means God. And so she shared that it may be confusing to those Christians who speak Arabic that I keep saying Allah is not the God of the Bible. And that's true. He's not. And it may be the same way of saying God, but the attributes described in the Quran for that God don't match the attributes in the Christian Bible for our God. So it don't matter if you're saying Allah and you're saying it's the same God of the Bible. In the Quran, he don't match up with the God of the Bible, okay? Now, I would say that some of that is coming down to the name of God, which is what this series is about. Because his true name, what he gave to Moses, is I am. Allah doesn't mean I am. Okay, see, that's a generic term for God to those that speak Arabic. So God's name is I am. Okay, I am that I am. So for those who are now paranoid, and I know some of you out there are, about saying God and Lord because what they've done to our Bibles, I just want to say I'm still comfortable with saying God and Lord. Because my Heavenly Father, when I talk to Him, when I pray to Him, He knows my heart, He knows who I'm talking to, and He knows who I'm praying to. So don't get hung up thinking if you say God or Lord that Satan's going to think it's for him. And He knows you ain't His. He knows you don't bow down to Him, okay? It is about your heart. Some people are using that term loosely, but praise God He knows our heart, and He knows who we're talking to and calling on and all of that, right? So, anybody that's listening to these teachings can also tell that I'm not talking about the God of the Quran, okay? Lucifer certainly knows that I don't pray and seek him. I'm not his, okay? I really do pray that this teaching series brings you guys peace, and it brings y'all out of the bondage that some of you are getting mixed up in or thinking about or researching, trying to go down that road of Hebrew Roots movement or getting involved in sacred names groups. Stay out of that stuff, y'all. Okay? Now, as a side note, I want to share that Baal means Lord, just like Adonai or Adonai means Lord. Baal, it means Lord. It's like a generic title, okay? This is where some of the confusion is coming in to play also. But I want to tell you how that you can tell that the God of the Bible is not the same as Baal. I say Baal, y'all. I don't say Baal or Baal or any of that. I just say Baal. Okay, how you can tell that the God I serve, and if you're a true Christian, the God you serve, is not the same as Baal, because you're going to find teachings on that saying they're interchangeable and they're the same, is he hated Baal worship, and he considered it idolatry, and he called it out all through this Bible. There is a difference, okay? Now, there are many occurrences in the Bible where he kept telling the children of Israel not to serve Baal. So if he was Baal, okay, if he was letting them refer to him as Baal like that, why would he say stop serving Baal, okay? Now, Baal was worshipped by the Canaanites and the heathen nations that surrounded Israel. And God warned them about that and said, don't go over there into that idolatry. And if you read your Old Testament Bible, you know they practically stayed in idolatry through the whole thing. They would have moments where they'd come up for air and come back to God, but most of the time they were over here bowed down to Baal and all his filth and garbage, okay? Which behind that is Satan, okay? Now, the confusion about the Father's name is coming from the Jews who never came out of idolatry, but instead they embraced it and they mixed it in with their teachings. It got worse over time, and they have mixed in magic and mysticism in with their teachings. This began in biblical days, y'all, and it has continued right up to this day, okay? That's what we're going to break down is, who started all this confusion? And you know, the Lord God Almighty is not a God of confusion. So where's it coming from? Satan, okay? Look at this first guy. This guy right here, like Kennedy said, he's feisty. Oh, he's more than feisty, all right. That's the horned hand representing Lucifer, Satan worship. Okay? He's not a Longhorn fan, okay? He's a Jew that does not love Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. A Jew that doesn't love Jesus Christ cannot teach or tell us anything. Okay? Now, you might think this is a message beaten down on the Jews. And what this really is, I'm not talking about the Jews who love Jesus, the ones that they say are Messianic Jews. Okay? I'm not talking about the ones who are saved. This is all about the ones who stayed in their sin. Those are the Jews I'm talking about today, okay? And this is not a hate message. Those that are wanting to be politically correct, this is your time to go ahead and leave. This isn't a hate message. Christians are not called to hate anyone, okay? We love our enemies. We pray for them. We bless and not curse with our words, okay? Let's look at this. This guy right here. Who I'm saying can't teach us anything. He's telling us something right there. Let's look at 1 John 2:23 to refresh ourselves on how come we can't learn anything from them. That's where the Hebrew language came from, right? That's what our Bibles were supposedly originally written in, was that language, right? So haven't we been at their mercy for getting the Word of God? Let's think about this, y'all. 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denies the Son, that's Jesus Christ, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. They have rejected Jesus. They are continuing to reject Jesus. So they don't have the Father either. They don't have the Son or the Father. They got nothing for me as a believer. Nothing. That they can't offer me anything. Okay? We're not to keep company with those who are in their sin and stay in it, who don't want to know the truth. Okay? Now, we got to pray for their salvation, y'all. And I'm serious. Pray for them. We really do. We got to pray for them to have tender hearts. For God to break up their stony hearts and have tender hearts and to be brought to the truth who is Jesus Christ. Okay? As for our God being a fire God, yes, that is true. He is a fire God. Look at Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. He controls all the elements. Okay? He's just as much a water God, a wind God, as anything. He's in control of it all. Okay? Now, Exodus 32:3-8. We're going to get down to these unsaved Jews who never left their idolatry, not even to this day, and who've had their hands trying to mess up the teachings and the things that we have. Listen to this. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron and received, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." I want to stop right there and tell you, in my King James Bible, that's capital L-O-R-D, which they have told us stands for the Y-H-W-H. I'd say that's right. They're worshiping a calf right there, a golden idol that they made because they just came out of Egypt and they still had that idolatry in them. That's not talking about the Lord God Almighty. But you see, if you were a new baby Christian, you'd read that and go, "Whoa, it's saying it's the sacred name there." Come on, y'all, we got to sharpen up. That cow doesn't stand for the one who I serve, okay? And it says, "And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go, get down, for your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed to it, and said, These be your gods, O Israel, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" He knew he brought them out with a high hand, and here they are bowing down to a cow saying it brought them out. Really? And I want to tell you something. I thought it was always like this when the Lord says to Moses, "For the people that you brought out of Egypt." You know, Moses was a tool that God used to bring them out, right? God's really the one that released them and brought them out. But it's kind of like when your kid's acting up and you say, "That's your daughter." You know what I mean? When they're acting bad, that's your daughter. When they're acting good, "Oh, that's my daughter," right? Anyway, that's kind of funny. But when it says they rose up to play, keep that in mind for what all was happening in this scene. They just made them an idol. They've been drinking and eating, and you might as well say a party right there. Because it wasn't drinking milk, and it wasn't playing horseshoes or croquet or badminton. That word play, you might as well say orgies. You might as well say sexual perversion. You might fornication. You might as well have that right there in that word. When you look at this next little picture, wait, first of all, I will put a censor alert warning here for you parents out there. If you got children watching, because this may be something you have to explain if you go forward with this picture. It's a little bit, we'll say risque or revealing. We'll put it that way, okay? Now, look at this picture, y'all. here this is, and it says, Yahweh of Samaria and his Asherah. And you look here, and they have these primitive, crazy-looking people drawn. But look at the cow first. And they wrote up there Yahweh, and they drew an arrow down to the cow. Okay, and then they give you the scriptures that I just read from over in Exodus is where all this happened. And so you're like, what is going on here? And you see these guys with their business hanging out, you know what I mean. That's because they rose up to play in sexual perversion. All of what was going on here was an abomination to the Lord God Almighty, okay? Now, these people quickly turned to idolatry, and they were calling that cow God the Father. That's why you see Lord there, okay? But I dare say that's why you see YHWH there. It's because those that wanted to put the name possibly of their God in there knew what that meant. And that's why that's there. So when they said that a feast to the Lord, they actually did mean to this cow which they just made, okay? Not to the God that we serve. So let's get that straight. Okay. Now, if you don't study the Word of God and you look at this, it seems like a cow is being called God the Father. Or by God's sacred name. But if you continue to read, then you see that isn't so, because he told Moses that the people were already sinning and already in idolatry while Moses was up on the mountain talking to God, getting the Ten Commandments. Now, YHWH can certainly be for cow worship. Remember Baal? Remember the horned god? Remember Nimrod? Think about Red Bull. When you guys are out there drinking the energy drinks with Red Bull on there, all of that stands for Nimrod. All of that's for sun worship. All of that's for Baal worship, okay? So it can certainly be for that cow worship, because that does represent Baal. The ones who've given us our translation certainly could have put their God's name in our Bibles. I showed you last week how they've got witchcraft running all around on the covers of our Bibles, and the people that are involved printing and adding to and taking away from the Word of God are in witchcraft. And I brought all that out in last week's message. If you didn't see it, go watch it so you won't think Pastor Sherry's trying to tear down God's Word. Okay? Now, when I read Lord here, it's my God, and I can tell he's not in approval of bowing down to idols when you read about the Lord who's talking to Moses, okay? Let's go over here and let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to read verse 21, and then I want to read 25 through 27. And this is the Lord speaking, the Lord God Almighty, the I am that I am, okay? And he says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yes, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Do you see that? He knew. And he's saying, they quit serving me and calling on my name, and they began to serve and bow down to Baal and call on his name. There is a difference. Baal and the Lord God Almighty are not the same, okay? Now, I want to see you to see that where he says, to cause my people to forget my name. These were false prophets, lying prophets. That's what God called them. He said, I didn't send them. I didn't talk to them. I didn't give them a dream. I haven't anointed them. I haven't anything with them. Yet they're going forward and saying, God told me this. God showed me that. God gave me a revelation. God gave me a dream. God gave me a vision. Okay? Now, this little campaign to cause his people to forget his name, it's going strong still today. They are trying to pull people away from the name of Jesus. There are people out there right now making comments on this message series that are doing nothing but trying to attack and pull down the name of Jesus. They clearly can see that I've already said I'm an English-speaking person and I'm done with this Hebrew mess. And they're still trying to put their little Hebrew stuff out there. All right. I want to ask you something. Have you ever noticed that there are many teachers, not just on TV, but online too? I mean, we're flooded with teachers these days, y'all. Teachers, preachers. I want to tell you something. Everybody is thinking that they are called to teach and preach. Everybody. And they really don't even care if God has called them or not. They're going full speed ahead. You'll run into a slew of them out on Facebook. You'll run into them on YouTube. They're promoting their own selves, okay? They don't really even have a call on their life. And they're all out there, and you know, I want to tell you something right now from this ministry. I will give a warning right here for all these people who are out there saying they're teachers and preachers, and they're out there trying to lead people. James 3:1, because myself, this ministry takes this very seriously. If you're out there trying to teach and preach, you should too. Take this scripture to heart. My brethren, be not many masters, which means teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That means stricter judgment, because you're leading and teaching God's people. You're standing up saying, just like those, he told me this, he showed me this, he gave me this message, he anointed this, he gave me revelation. You are going to be held to a stricter judgment. And shame on you if you lead somebody astray or cause somebody to stumble and you wind up with their blood on your hands. It's very serious. Okay, I want to also say, have you noticed that everybody is having dreams and visions and posting them everywhere? Oh, I had a dream. God gave me a dream. God gave me a vision. And everybody's tacking his name on it. I've read some dreams and visions, and it was like, what? That ain't biblical. Okay. Let's look at Acts 2:17, because this is what everybody's using this scripture to do. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is right up Satan's alley. That's a true word from the Lord, okay? But I want to tell you something. Satan knows Scripture. He knows it better than you and I. I won't say that, actually, because we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher. Okay, he inspired it and he wrote this through men who love God very much. So I'll tell you something. He knows Scripture. Satan does. This Scripture right here helps with his lying signs and wonders, which God said were going to come. He's going to be doing things to fool people, to trick people, to lead those that are not strong in the faith away and aside, right? Okay. So this helps him with his lying signs and wonders so that people think they're having a dream or vision or revelation from God, when in reality it is straight from Satan. And I want to tell you, you have to know your Bible in order to discern who it's from. You have to be baptized into the Holy Spirit of God. We got a lot of people who are not baptized into the Holy Spirit. You can usually see them right off when they're being hateful and they want to fight. That's not God's spirit, okay? And they're out there spewing this stuff, and people are eating it right up, okay? I want to tell you, don't just accept stuff just because someone says, God showed me this or God showed me that. You see right here in the Bible where he was on those lying prophets that were tacking his name on what they were doing. They had their agenda, and they were tacking God's name on it, okay? Same thing's happening today. Even more so. And There are infiltrators who are teaching and saying, I used to be in the occult, or I used to be in witchcraft, or this or that, and yet they are sent in by the enemy to tear down God's church and deceive his children. It has to line up with God's word, or you got to kick it out. I know people that are seeking that stuff. All they want to do is go listen to somebody that says they used to be in the occult. They want to hear all these testimonies from previous witches. They want to know all the deep, dark secrets from the other side of this whole thing. And that's the thing. Not everybody that comes out is fully out. Some of them are just out there acting like they're out so they can reel you in. And they can put their little lies and sprinkle it here and sprinkle it there. But you're so curious, seeking after the supernatural, but you're not seeking after the supernatural from the Lord God Almighty's hand. Okay? There's a lot of people seeking supernatural these days, but they're not seeking it from the right source. And I'm not saying the source, but I'm saying God, the true and living God. Okay? Now, so I want to go back to this. How did God say that false prophets were to be dealt with? Let's look at Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spoke unto you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you, that means test you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. That means reverence him. He's worthy of all our praise, okay? And keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so to turn you aside. So you shall put the evil away from the midst of you. In the Old Testament, God did not tolerate sin. In order to get the sin out of the camp, he said, you put that false prophet, that lying prophet, to death. Now, he said the false prophet, or the one who says he had a dream from God and confirms it by a sign or a wonder. So let's say you see a miracle, and then a lot of people are going to turn aside and be like, that really is from God, because this person just did an awesome miracle, just something that, you know what I mean? Then you're going to believe that stuff, huh? Well, listen to this. They confirmed it with that sign or that wonder with the intention to lead you to serve other gods. He said that prophet was to be put to death because their sole intention with telling you their dream or their vision or whatever, and then to lead you to other gods, was their purpose with their little, you know, trickery, with their little witchery, with their sorcery, with their miracle, with their whatever that they did. The whole thing of that was to lead you astray from the truth, the Lord God Almighty, from Jesus Christ, okay? So, this was, putting that person to death was to keep evil from rising up and causing God's people to be led astray. So, even seeing a sign or a wonder should not pull us away from God. We are in that time where you are going to see lying signs and wonders and miracles and supernatural power on display like never before. I've seen some things. And you're going to see it. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit on board to discern between what's of God's hand and what's from Satan. Now, I want to tell you right now, we're under grace. We're under Jesus Christ. He's our new covenant. So all of these false prophets, false dreamers, false visions, lying prophets, deceivers, they're no longer being put to death. So that is why we must pray for more godly discernment, knowledge, and wisdom, okay, by his Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. Their day of judgment for what they have done, it will come soon enough, okay? The world is full of them. And it said it even in Paul's day, and he wrote it, that already at that time there were many antichrists in the world. How many more do we have today, okay? So I want to tell you, I listened to a video clip of an unsaved Jew, and I'm making a distinguishment there, because we're not talking about the Jews who've come to Jesus Christ. We're talking about the ones who are unsaved, who stayed in it, who go around like, I'm God's chosen person. You should kiss my feet. And we as Christians have understood that all wrong, okay? So I watched an unsaved Jew saying that Jesus was a miracle worker and was claiming to be God. So according to the Old Testament, the scripture that we just read, he had to be killed. He was very nonchalant about it. He was justifying what the Jews did. And he was saying they were perfectly right in doing so, according to the Torah, which they claim they hold so dear, but they don't. Because remember, they don't even have the Father. They don't honor God's word or care about his word, okay? Other than to use it to deceive and to trick and to pull away from God. Listen to this. I want to tell you something. What that man shared, that is poor interpretation, and that is not knowing God at all. Jesus continually pointed people to the Father. He even said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And he was not trying to lead people to serve other gods. He was leading them to the very God they claim to honor so much. They are trying to justify what they did, but they can't. You can't justify your sin, okay? Look at this next picture. We're going to talk about anti-Semitism for a minute. So this picture, Jews not allowed. It seems pretty blatant in our politically correct world, right? Now, I want to ask you, who do you think created anti-Semitism? The unsaved Jews did. I mean, this is like ridiculousness, because where do you think the Illuminati sprang up from, okay? Now, it's a way of making people not talk about how satanic they are, so that everybody, and especially unlearned Christians, will keep being deceived, and they'll keep sending their money to Israel, and they'll keep supporting them, okay? The fact is that the Jews in power in Israel, and it seems to be that most of the Jews who are in Israel, it's not that God gathered the true Jews back from all over the world yet. It's that we have these Ashkenazi Khazarian Jews who converted to be a Jew, who were not even Jews. It was like a political maneuver. They're the ones that have infiltrated and are over there. And if you really study into that, Rothschild and the Illuminati and the whole thing was behind having Israel formed and come back into a nation. Now, we know that God's word prophesied that, and he has no problem with letting evil people, you know, help to for his prophecy to come forward. He used evil kings back to bring judgment to his people. He's in control at all times, okay? So they thought they were really doing some big maneuver, and they did help prophecy in that one thing, okay? And so they follow teachings that are not biblical and are rooted in the mystery religions, okay? Netanyahu is playing his part, just like Trump is playing his part. You know, we forget this a lot of times, myself included. Those ones that are holding those presences on the world stage, we look at them. But we forget a lot of times that there's a shadow government. There are shadow leaders, the secret society, behind them who are really the ones in power, okay? All of it boils down to Satan. But we forget that sometimes, that they're just the puppets out there carrying on their part, okay? Now, and we don't know, like I've said before, whether they were broken because they know how to do programming on these people. We don't know if they're clones. We don't know if they wanted to do it because they're greedy dogs. We don't know. And really, that shouldn't even matter to us, okay? We're following the Lord, and we're following His Word, okay? But we've got to be aware. We've got to wake up, y'all, okay? So, the following teachings, they are following teachings that are not biblical and are rooted in mystery religions. They can't stand the Father or His Son. We're really going to be bringing that out more next week, okay? They will shake your hand on a deal and turn around and do the exact opposite. Jesus had a lot to say to this kind of Jew in the Bible, y'all. Let's read this. Because really, this is prophecy that hasn't come to pass either. And it's going to. Revelation 2:9. This is Jesus speaking to the church of Smyrna. I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Let's look at this next scripture. It's along the same lines. Now he's speaking to the church of Philadelphia. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. That's prophecy, y'all. Whose feet are they going to be worshiping at? Who made up that church of Philadelphia? Remember, this is after Jesus was already crucified. So who were the Christians then? Okay? They were a mixture of Jews that believed in Jesus and of Greeks or Gentiles that believed in Jesus. Okay? So this is the ones who love and serve Jesus, the church, the bride. And he says, they're going to come and worship at your feet. Wow, y'all. Now listen to this. I want to tell you something. That church of Philadelphia, when you read about the seven churches, that is the church that you should be striving to be, is the church of Philadelphia. That's the one you want to be like. That's the one you want to be in, okay? Now, I want to say, from that time when Jesus spoke all of that, look where we are now. We're 2,000 years later after that revelation, okay? And it's only gotten worse. I'm telling you, you guys that track with this ministry, praise God for y'all, because who wants to tune in and hear it's just going to get worse, it's going to get worse. But that's the truth, okay? So it's only gotten worse. They never stopped, okay? Get in their way, they'll kill you. Speak truth and become a problem, they'll just kill you. Look at Jesus, okay? He was a problem to their egos and rule-keeping. They were rule-keepers. And he was a problem to their status and their little system they had in place. So he was a problem. So what'd they do? You could, like in today's world, you'd say they put a hit out on him, didn't they? They paid somebody. Give us some information where we can go get him, right? They had him taken out. This isn't anything new, what we're dealing with, y'all. Jesus dealt with it. And praise God they took him out, because that's what made way for our salvation. Okay? They did us a service. Listen to this. All through the Bible, the holy prophets of God were being murdered. Let's look at Jeremiah 11:21. Therefore, thus says the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek your life. Now, this is God talking to Jeremiah. And he's saying these guys are seeking Jeremiah's life. Listen to this. This is the Lord, and he's speaking of the men of Anathoth that seek your life. They were seeking Jeremiah's life, saying, they were telling Jeremiah this, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that you die not by our hand. You know what that is? That's saying, shut up. We don't want to hear what God says. We don't want to hear his words. We don't want to hear his prophecy. We don't want to hear him. So they were threatening Jeremiah. You shut up or else we're going to kill you. It's not anything new, y'all. Look at this next picture. Here they are. They were stoning Stephen. You can read about that in Acts 6:8 through 7:60. Look at this. This is after Jesus' crucifixion. So it did not stop with getting Jesus out of the way. And he's not out of the way, y'all. He's alive. Alive forevermore. And here they are, though. They're stoning Stephen. Well, he's a problem. We're going to get rid of him. And if you read right there where it starts, he was doing many miracles and signs and wonders. So he was a problem. We got to get rid of him. People are believing in Jesus because of him, huh? Yeah. So they didn't slow down not one bit. They rolled right over him and kept on going. Now, listen to this. This is how ridiculous they are. Remember after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead? They wanted to re-kill Lazarus. You see how smart they are? I mean, come on. You know, he raised him from the dead. Let's go get him. Jesus was still alive, mind you, when they were trying to do that. I mean, you know, they're not the brightest things here, okay? So they did not want to hear God's word. They did not want to change their wicked ways and did not want to stop their idolatry, their mysticism and magic and bowing down to Baal and serving all this stuff, okay? The same thing is happening today. If you stand up and speak God's word or the name of Jesus Christ, they do not want to hear it. And that's not just the unsaved Jews, okay? That's all sinners. That's all the ones who haven't come to the knowledge of the truth, okay? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear and know truth, but they want to stay in their sin. Israel is hostile to Christianity. We get a little calendar from Voice of the Martyrs. They have a ministry where they try to help persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ all around this world. And from time to time, they send us a calendar and they show us who's in hostile regions, who's in regions that are on the border of becoming hostile. They show you these differences where there are some places you can't send Bibles to as a ministry, send them to outreach ministries. There's some places you can't send a Bible to. You know, certain restrictions are there. And I'll tell you, Israel, and here we are wanting to send them money and bless them and do all these things, and they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Really? You better think twice before you keep supporting Israel like that. Support them with your prayers. Pray that they'll get saved and see God for who he is and come to the truth, okay? Come out of their filth. But so they're hostile to Christianity, and they discourage people from making converts to Christianity there. They don't specifically, like per se, have a law on the books saying you can't try, but they have worded it in such a way that it's so complicated to do it until they discourage it heavily. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus had something to say to the scribes and Pharisees. Now, scribes, think about scribble. Okay, because they were writing down things, records and keeping notes and stuff, okay? The temple, they always had scribes keeping records and documents. Pharisees, you might as well think about a rule keeper. To me, you could think about like a nun, those little kids that are made to go to Catholic school, and then the nun or whatever, or whoever their teachers, whatever you call them, get mad, and they got that ruler, and they come and smack their hand because they're rude dogs. Okay, that's what you could think of as a Pharisee. They were always jumping out on Jesus. You really going to heal that person? You really? I mean, they're against everything that's good, okay? Now, they are what's called, now my Bible calls them lawyers. And I'm like, lawyers? Okay, so I guess they had lawyers back then. That is that they were experts in the Mosaic law. They're rule keepers, okay? And not only that, this will come out probably next week or week after, that they weren't following God's laws. They were making up their own laws. And that's whose laws they were following. Okay? They weren't walking in obedience. Listen to this. This was Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees who we're talking about today, because they've been writing stuff and presenting it to us up through the ages, saying, oh yeah, this is what the Word of God says. Now, we got to understand something, just like Pastor Russ has said, and this is what I know to be true. The Holy Spirit inspired Scripture to be written, and He did it through men who had a heart, a true and pure and sincere heart for the Lord God Almighty. And they penned it under the Holy Spirit's power. That's how it was written. It wasn't just some crazy old rude dog that went, I'm going to write up some stuff. That's what we're dealing with now. They got their hands on the pure written Word of God down through time. And because they have such a hardened, mean heart, they try to do little things here and there, okay? Now, I had somebody come against me after the Mandela message and say, well, if you don't believe in the Bible, why are you still reading it or teaching from or whatever? And it's like, well, I haven't seen a Mandela yet that has changed it so much that it's something I should just toss out. Mostly they're just changing words like, you know, like for a servant girl, a handmaiden or whatever, and they're calling it a dame. Okay, stuff like that. Okay, that's not anything for me to just toss it out. I already said, once they start saying that Jesus Christ is Antichrist and stuff like that, then it's probably time for the Bible to say adios, okay? But I do believe that because that it all came from the original Hebrew Israelites, the Word of God, that those that didn't love God, I mean, this is what I've been trying to stress to y'all. Satan has been against God's word ever since the garden, okay? He's not stopped and he's not let up at all. He wants to taint it, take it down, and he wants to make you question it and just throw it out, and you know what I mean? He wants to make it hard to find God because it's not real smart. We don't even have to have a Bible to find God, okay? But that's what I want you to see. Is this stuff isn't anything new that God is now waking us up to. We've walked around and thought our Bibles were perfect. But last week I showed you how much witchcraft they're putting on the Bibles. And I showed you about these so-called Christian publishers who are doing these things. So we would be naive not to think that they're trying to mess with what's inside on the pages too, okay? Even the King James, I feel like with this whole Yahweh Jehovah stuff, wasn't being pure, okay? Now listen to this. In Luke 11:47 through 52, Jesus says, woe unto you, for you build the tombs, that's what sepulchers is, tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, so they were in acceptance with what their fathers did, killing God's prophets, okay? For they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also, said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. And it says Zacharias. That's really supposed to be Zachariah, but that's like the Greek version. Which perished between the altar and the temple. Truly I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers. So that's the scribes and Pharisees, right? For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered, which means you kept them out. You weren't going into the knowledge, and you kept them out from it too. Now, he ended with saying, you took away the key of knowledge. And he said, you entered not in, and you hindered them that were entering in. So you kept those that wanted to come in out. That's a very profound statement that Jesus made to them. They had not even entered into the knowledge of God. I mean, that's a wow. That's a floor, you know, that's a flooring statement. They had not entered into the knowledge of God, okay? Think about that key of knowledge. The occult is big on keys, all right? Now, so God and His Word are the key of knowledge, right? It's not in the secret esoteric mysteries where I've got to go find this key of knowledge. What does God say? What does He tell us? Proverbs 1:7, the fear, that's reverence, that's worship, that's awe of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So He's calling them fools. His Word is. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He is the one we seek for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, anointing, protection, all of it, favor, His grace, peace, mercy. It all comes from the Lord God Almighty above. Okay? And you're not going to get to Him but through Jesus Christ. Let's look at Jeremiah 11:12-14. Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. So all their little gods that they were bowing down to, Baal and Ashtaroth, all of that, remember, demons are behind that. And remember, that boils down to Satan. For according to the number of your cities were your gods. That's a lot of gods, y'all. O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal? Therefore pray not for this people. He told Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. You know, that's like that thing where God had just about had enough of it, right? People read those scriptures and say, well, that's true about that. What is that replacement theology? They would read that scripture and say, see, He is done with them. But no, He's merciful. When they do come eventually and cry out and say, we're so sorry, please forgive us, He will forgive you when your heart is right and true and pure and sincere. We see that all through the Bible. We don't really see a time where they got themselves right and came up out of their filth, okay? I want to show you some of their filth. He's talking about them bowing down to all these gods, as many cities as they had gods, as many streets as they had altars to Baal. Look at this first picture. This is a type, it's one type of Asherah pole. There are many different things that are considered Asherah poles. And remember, that's Ashtaroth, that is Queen of Heaven, that's Lady Liberty standing out in our New York Harbor. All of those things represented her, right? And a lot of times in the Bible, you hear about those, the groves where they would worship in the high places, bow down to Baal, and they would have those groves right there with the altars. You would have both of them together. So this is like a grove, and you can see, you don't need imagination, you grown-ups, to know what this is, okay? Now, that is representing Nimrod's phallus, because you remember, she supposedly found all the body parts except for that one, and she started erecting these things for people to bow down and worship this. Remember the occult. This all came out of Babylon and Egypt, the idolatry and the worshiping those false gods, okay? Canaan, the heathen nations, all of that. And remember, isn't Satan about perversion? Let's mix up the sexes. Let's have little girls think they're little boys now. Let's have, you know, let's have people decide from day to day what sex they want to be. Let's get it all good and confused. But this is what he's about, worshiping the sex act, the sex organs, the sexual perversion, because all of this goes against God and His purity and holiness. Look at this next picture. These are also Asherah poles. On the left, this is like a one type of ancient Asherah pole. The other one was like poles that she had set up for Nimrod. These are also poles of herself. And a lot of times you'll find the people's little idols where she was always naked and holding her boobs out and everything else, okay? You find all kinds of Asherah poles. Over here on the right, these are Asherah poles at the altar in the Vatican, also known as St. Peter's Basilica, and I just call it Vatican because we all know where that is. Pope-tastic, that's where he comes from, okay? So you see this huge... And to me, that looks scary. Why would you want this scary-looking junk in a church that's about holiness for the Lord? Okay? So when you look at that, and you see these are like twisted. And when you look at them, they look like trees going up there, okay? This, supposedly, I saw some research. I really couldn't tell real good. Says they have sunburst at the top of each one of these twisted tree-looking poles. And I want to tell you, I'm sure these statues and this stuff that's on the top of this... I'm sure that's a little shrine and tribute to Baal. So there you've got her and him all together. Now, bring it on forward to us today, those of us that have learned about Christmas. This little picture says it all, inherited idolatry. This tree over here stands for Nimrod's phallus, and that wreath stands for the womb or the female body part. They go together. And all of that, that's in Jeremiah 10:4. That's in our Bibles where God was, he was disgusted with the stuff that they were doing, okay? Let's look at this next picture. This one says, some things never change. On the left, we just read about them making themselves that golden calf out there and Aaron proclaiming a feast to the Lord. Which we know that's not the Lord God Almighty, so I'm not sure why they put capital L-O-R-D there for a cow, right? That's why I'm telling you it has to be their God that's really indicating there. Not the one I serve, not the I am that I am. That's not what's written there. It's that Y-H-W-H that's written there. And look at this. Remember how he said, these be thy gods, and you only see one cow? Well, remember, there's that either the solar disk or the moon disk. And remember, she can also be known as Hathor, which is a calf or a cow. And he can be the bull with horns, and she can be the disk up there. And they had a snake up in the whole thing, too. They had it all up in there. These be thy gods, plural. Look over here on the right. This is loud and proud on Wall Street. The bull with horns representing Nimrod, Baal, sun worship. Look at this last picture. On the left, this is a Baal altar. And I want to tell you, when you look at that and you see that person lifting up their little baby, going to put it in that fire and offer it to this. This represents Moloch, Molech, Chemosh. Baal, many different names. Remember when God split them away from that Tower of Babel and they all began to babble and all the different languages came about, then that one God is now known under many different names. Can't you see the relation, how they depicted this one just like Baphomet? You've kind of got those boobs up there. You've got the horn. You've got it all, okay? So there they were giving their children up. Israel did this. They sacrificed their children through the fire. That's all through the Bible. They were doing the same thing the heathen nations were doing. And I want to say, aren't we, as nations, still giving our children to Molech, to Baal, to Satan? You see that lady on the right? She's proud of it. She's wearing her T-shirt. I had an abortion, smiling. And she's got her little hands up there forming that triangle, that diamond shape, that pyramid. Who is she honoring by doing that with her hands? You guys who follow this ministry know that's all about the sun god, Baal, Moloch, Satan. Now, I want to say, what causes a person to have an abortion? And I can speak from experience on this, because when I was young and, you know, a teenager, like 19, I've been through that. And I want to tell you something. not being raised in the ways of the Lord is one. My father was not a Christian. My mother was, but she did not teach us the things of the Bible. She would drag us to church, but she wasn't doing any teaching at home. And they certainly weren't preaching on this stuff at church, okay? So I didn't get my firm foundation, which I pray you guys are giving to your children, okay, and which we're giving to Kennedy. So I want to say one thing that will cause a person to get an abortion is not being raised in the ways of the Lord. It's something to go to church, but it's another thing to learn God's word, okay? Just going to church ain't going to cut it, y'all, especially not the way churches are today. Not being taught, see, that sleeping together before or outside of marriage is fornication. That's a sin, okay? Not knowing that it's murder, that murder is something that God said no to still to this day. He said even if you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. He takes it pretty serious, okay? So that's one reason why people do it. Just not being raised to know, okay? Not being raised in the ways of the Lord. God had a reason for telling us to raise our children to be godly. And we wouldn't see a lot of what's going on if we would have took that serious and done that. But not many people do, okay? Now, shame, fear. I know for me, I was scared of my daddy. I was scared of what he was going to do and what he was going to say. I didn't say anything. Okay, shame. Don't young girls in high school and different ones, they're embarrassed and they're ashamed because everybody can look and see and know what you did, right? If you keep the baby. Another reason that people have an abortion is being unequally yoked. When a man makes a woman go and abort the baby. Okay? Those are just some of the reasons. And I want to tell you, for this country, and we're not alone. I forget how many they said are aborted. I mean, it's just like, just round the clock, round the clock, round the clock, round the clock. And when you study into that, you'll find out those people that are working there that are doing that stuff are Satanists. They are getting credit for murdering those babies, which is bringing them more demonic and satanic power. It's a sick deal that's going on here. So you might not think that you're really sacrificing your baby to that cow god Baal through the fire if you go and do that or did that, but you are. It boils down to Satan. It boils down to him persuading you in whatever way he had to do it to get you to do it, okay? And I want to tell you something. All of these things, all of the things I talked about, there are more, but those are a lot of the good foundational reasons why people are doing it. Not that they're good reasons to do it, but that's all being in ignorance, walking in ignorance, and those are all spirits. Those spirits, okay, that come on a person that are making them get in fear or shame or bow down and let somebody tell you to do that, or you know what I mean? Spirits from Satan sent to cause you to murder. And I want to say something real quick to anybody out there who is just like me, and now you're coming to God with a pure and a true and a sincere heart, and you feel bad about that. That's a pretty major sin. All sin separates from God. But let's not kid ourselves. He does have things that he hates, and murder is one of them. It's abomination. He will forgive you. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive it, and he'll wash it away. If you ask Jesus, you say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for taking a life. Please forgive me. He will wash you clean, and he'll forgive you for that. And I want to tell you that there's comfort also in knowing not only that he forgives you, that you'll see that baby in heaven one day. So don't let that keep you away from the Lord, okay? Now, in closing, I want to say that, and I don't want to brush this off as something light, We know that things happen in pregnancies where it's the mother's life or the baby's life, or those kind of things happen. But you know what I'm talking about is just a pressure kind of thing, or just I'm going to go down here and do this of my own free will. That's what I'm talking about there. And we're, this country is steeped in it, and the whole world is, and it's sad, okay? And it's not pleasing God's heart, okay? All of those babies are being sacrificed to Satan, okay? We need to pray for that to be stopped, okay? So I want to tell you in closing, I want to share a quote from an unsaved Jew who was very proud and rude. That's what people are most of the time, atheists and people who don't have Jesus Christ. There's a hardness about them. And the Jews, because of how the Bible is written, that they're God's chosen people. But what they're not realizing is if they don't come to Jesus Christ, they're bringing damnation on themselves, okay? He opened the way to all of us now. We're all in this together. If a Jew is saved and a Greek or Gentile is saved, then we are part of the bride of Christ together. There's no distinction, okay? So there is no more of this, ooh, I have to treat them special, or, you know, that God's not like that, okay? We got to pray for them to be saved. But I want to share something that he said. He said, most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. So I wasn't lying, and we are his chosen people. Lucifer is very much alive. And that was said by Harold Rosenthal. So I looked up some information on Harold. He was murdered in Turkey in a supposed terrorist attack in an airport. Now, you guys who are awake know that we have a lot of false flags and hoaxes going on. Hoaxes are where they stage the whole thing, put it out on media, and roll it out like it really happened, and it never happened. A false flag is where something did happen, but the people that are being blamed and that they're saying did it weren't even around and had no part of it. It's usually that very government that set the thing up, just like 9/11, okay? Our government set that up. And anyway, that was a whole deal to drive their agenda. Just like all wars have been the same thing, okay? So I feel bad for our men and women who are deceived going out, thinking they're fighting for the freedom of this country when they're really fighting an agenda for the Illuminati. But that's a different subject, y'all. But anyway, so I don't know if this particular attack was a false flag or a hoax or whatever, but it's very interesting that he was murdered in a Turkey terrorist attack at the airport. And it seemed like, according to information that I could find, that he was specifically singled out. Okay? Now, prior to that, he was working as an aide in the United States government, and he was 29 when he was murdered. He had also worked at the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. What do we know about Rockefeller? He's under the thumb of Rothschild. Who do they serve? Lucifer. Okay? Now, he worked over at the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, and then he went back and he was working back as the aide back in the government. I found information where he did an interview, and he shared a whole lot of what we now know about the shadow governments and what the Jews who are running things behind the scenes say and believe. I mean, you guys who are awake know they call us goyim and all this kind of stuff, right? And they say we're useless cattle and that kind of thing, okay? So he was sharing all this stuff, the things that we now ought to know, just to be a matter of fact. But the thing is, he was sharing this way back in the 70s, okay? Now, 30 days after that interview where he shared all this stuff with his little pompous self, he was murdered. They either used him to get the truth out and then killed him. You know, they do that kind of stuff sometimes, right? They want to get the truth out there. So I don't know. They could have used him to get the truth out and then taken him out. I want to end with this last scripture, and I want you to remember, this was a foundation of showing you the Jews, who never were about the Father and never were about Jesus Christ, and what they did all through the Bible, killing God's prophets, killing God's people, okay? And they killed Jesus, and then they went on to kill more prophets, and they've not slowed down, okay? They're still going on today. They've expanded their outreach, okay, or their reach. Now, let's look at Revelation 22, 10 through 11. And he says unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The unsaved Jews, they seem to be wanting to stay in their filth. They are very hateful and hostile. They do not want to hear about Jesus Christ. They are running their agenda. And I want to tell you something. We as Christians, we have to stay and flow in love, okay? Witness, if we get the opportunity, share the gospel with them. Don't argue, don't fight with anyone. That's not what Jesus called us to do. If somebody is that hardened of heart that they want to argue and fight, you just got to walk away, okay? They've made their choice. We all have free will, okay? So we don't want to get in arguments about it. But if you get the opportunity with them, witness, share the gospel, and we all can pray for them right from where we are, okay? But we are not to be deceived by them, okay? I want to apologize because I wasn't able to get into the Kabbalah this week. I really felt strongly that I had to lay this foundation so that we could see this was an ongoing problem. It started way from the Old Testament with their idolatry and what they were doing, and it goes all the way over to the New. And there is so much scripture. I'll bring some more to the table next week, but there is so much scripture about all that, okay, to show what they were doing all along. And so we are going to get into talking about the Kabbalah next week and exposing what the unsaved Jews have helped to bring to this world, because it did come out of Egypt and Babylon, and then they propelled it along. They poured gas on the fire and it spread like wildfire, okay? So we're really going to bring that out next week, okay? Let's pray, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you for what Jesus did for every single one of us, even the most hardened-hearted person, even those that have been walking in hate, those that have been working to turn us from you, Father. Jesus died for all of us. And it's true, Father. You love all of us. And I always remember, for God is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Father, you are faithful to keep your word and faithful to keep your promises, and we can stand on your word. And Father, we can know you even without a copy, a translation of what was really written. We can know you even without that. We can know you like Abraham did when we seek you from a true and a pure heart. Father, I thank you that we can worship you and know you in spirit and in truth, and that you will lead and guide us to all truth. You will not leave your children in deception. Even if we are fooled and tricked and believe in something for a time, you won't leave us there. You have your way of bringing us around and showing us the truth, and then you will use what you pulled us out of and brought us out of for a testimony for your glory. even with me listening to some of those TV preachers and believe in them and what they were teaching, you helped me to grow and get rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Even through that, I was reading your word and praying and seeking you, but I would listen to them too. But then there came a day when you showed me, you pulled that veil back and showed me the truth. I thank you, Father, you don't leave your children in deception. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to chase after some secret knowledge and be initiated into some secret group and do perverse and tainted things to try to attain some knowledge that is from the Satan, from the occult. Your word tells us, Heavenly Father, you're not about secrets. Your word tells us to seek you and you will reveal your hidden mysteries. And you might say, well, hidden mysteries, seems like he's about secrets. But you know what? He said, come to me and seek me, and I will show you marvelous and hidden mysteries and things you have not known. He will expose the deception to you, and he does not ask you to do perverse things in order to know him and to have knowledge and wisdom and discernment from him by his hand. We don't have to sell out to Satan and chase the riches of the world like those that are in secret societies, like those that are unsaved and selfish and greedy have done. I want to tell each and every one of you, when you have Jesus Christ, just like that scripture said to that church, when Jesus said, you are rich. When you have Jesus Christ, you are rich. Father, I thank you for leading and guiding and teaching us. I pray for those, Heavenly Father, who have not come to know you, who have learned those ways and they think their way is the right way. There's nothing impossible with God. Even in countries where Bibles are forbidden and it's forbidden to witness to people, it's forbidden to what they call proselytize. Father, you can reach those people. No one is beyond your reach. Even your word says that we can look around and just to see your creation and know that there is a God. The problem is that Satan is taking credit for that. He's fooled many, and they worship him as the creator of this world. What a shame, Father. I want to lift up, dear Heavenly Father, those Jews that have been working their agenda along with all those in the secret societies, for whatever reason they're in it, whether they were programmed and broken and made to do it, whether they did it willingly, we don't care what the reason is, Father. We lift the people up around this world who have been trying to draw people away from you and away from your truth. I pray, Father, just like Katy Perry having that little meltdown, I pray that they would all begin to have meltdowns. Father, if they're programmed, then I pray that you would break through their programming. Just like Miss Joy, who's healing, I pray that you would bring each person that's been programmed back to the original personality you created them to be. All of the DID individuals out there, Father, that you would merge them back into the one you created, that all parts of them would be saved, come back in together as a whole person, that you would heal their soul, bind those broken pieces all back together, Father. Take those shattered pieces and heal and make them whole. And Father, I pray for these people with such hatred in their heart that they go around trying to pull people away from you. Father, what a harsh eternity they're going to have. I pray that by your Holy Spirit power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that you'll reach out to them, Father,
No one is going to go to eternal damnation and say, nobody told me. God is merciful. He tugs on your heartstrings and he calls you. But there will come a day when he'll say, okay, I tried. He will let you have what it is that you desire. And if you don't desire him, he'll turn you over to your sin. Not before he reaches out to you. Father, we pray for their salvation. And I want to lift up Heavenly Father for salvation, Miss Ada's husband. And all of our family and friends who are listening who aren't saved. All of us have somebody we know that needs Jesus in their life or needs to get serious about their Christianity. Father, we pray for their salvation. We lift them up to you, the lost and dying soul in this world, Father. We pray that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit power to Jesus Christ, Father. We want to see them in heaven. Father, we pray as many souls would come to Jesus Christ. We pray that they would call on the name of Jesus Christ and that they would be saved, Father. We have a burden for our family and our friends, for those that we love. Father, we pray that you'd break down their hardened hearts and take those walls down, Father. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray that by your hand, Father, they would come to Jesus and desire truly to be saved and to walk in obedience, Father, and to want to serve the purpose for which you created them. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a destiny. We're all created for good works which God laid out before we were even born for us to do. Don't enter heaven ashamed and not fulfill your destiny. Seek Jesus and say, why did you create me? What am I supposed to be doing? What do I desire to do? What am I good at? Because that's normally what something to do with what he created you to do is the thing that you're really good at. Lord, I want to lift up Yolindi's sister Carly for complete healing. She's been in such a battle back and forth. Miss Beth, Lord, she's been down in her health, and I don't know of anybody that doesn't know someone that's struggling with sickness and disease, Father. Help us, Lord. Let Jesus touch each one of us, Father, and deliver us and heal us. Just like he did with the masses of people when he walked the earth, we're reaching out and we're asking for healing. I pray that you would touch and deliver our friends and family members who need healing, Father. I want to pray for Miss Robinia's family and for her. For her dad's family and friends, Father. He passed away. Her dad did. And Father, I just pray for everyone out there who's mourning and grieving a lost loved one. Father, comfort them by your Holy Spirit. Wrap them in your arms of love. Send peace into their hearts and minds, Father. Help them not to be angry at you, but help them to know that you have a purpose in your timing when you take our loved ones and friends. Father, I pray that you would comfort those who are mourning and grieving. Give them strength, Heavenly Father, to keep going. And I want to lift up for jobs. Mr. Boris said to pray for him. He's in a place where they're in a succession. And there are a lot of people that don't have jobs or that are looking for better jobs, Father, or that aren't making enough money. Heavenly Father, we have needs that we need that need to be met, and we know that you're the one that meets them, Father. If we seek your kingdom first, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're not to worry about those things because we're in your hands, Father, and we trust in you. So I pray for jobs and better jobs for those who are looking and seeking, Father. Those who need better income, I pray that you would lead and guide them to where you want them to be. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless your children, meet their needs, Father. Protect us. I thank you for your protection over us, for your wall of fire around us, for your holy angels who you've assigned to us from the beginning of our lives. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And I pray all these things in the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says, for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says, if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from Him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer you prayed to Jesus in His name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear His voice, right? You want to hear Him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear His voice. And how you hear His voice? Read His word. That's His words written down for you and I to read. That's His voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, You speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay. You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right. And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.